This is Jim Petzer, your host. Yes. This is Jim Petzer, your host, right here on RBN for authentic news on this sixth day of November 2023, where we're live streaming on Speak Free Radio, announcing the second annual John Stadt Miller Book Drive. 2 years ago today, RBN lost its great leader, John Stadt Miller. His talk radio legacy remains and will continue to echo deep into our dystopian future. With his many decades of in-depth research and inquiry left behind a great bounty of literature. Starting today, November 5th, 2023, actually began yesterday, RBN will be conducting its second annual John Stadt Miller Book Drive. Please keep RBN alive through your participation. Excellent. I encourage everyone to participate. I begin with what appears to me to be a concession that Ukraine lost coming from the head of the Ukrainian Armed Forces. War News 24/7 reports. Confession of defeat by Zelensky sparks a serious crisis with Zelensky. All our calculations were wrong. I change soldiers and commanders, but Russia wins. Fierce confrontation has erupted after the unprecedented admission of defeat by the head of the Ukrainian army, Zelensky, who in an interview with The Economist admitted Russia's victory. He admitted Russia has the advantage while Ukraine is losing its war of attrition, which is currently being wagered. This is a clear admission of defeat by the head of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, who already with his promotion by the Western media seemed to take the lead in the fierce confrontation with Volodymyr Zelensky for the leadership of Ukraine in a post-war field, with Ukraine defeated and completely disintegrated. According to him, the conflict in Ukraine is reminiscent of World War I. Just like in the First World War, we have reached a level of technology that leads us to a stalemate. Ukrainian general concludes it would take a huge technological breakthrough. What he observes here is that in the past, we did not have modern technology that allows the location and identification of troops so it can be subjected to precision attacks. Some might say claim of a stalemate isn't quite a defeat. Others interpret it as an admission of defeat. I am among them. Meanwhile, Russia today. NATO nation cleared by U.S. to send F-16 to Ukraine was going to be too little too late. Ukrainian officials have even admitted they're not going to receive the planes until 2024. Well, the war has already been lost. Meanwhile, we have a report, and this is rather startling, again from War News 24/7. Report of Britain's leader to Zelensky. Ukraine will lose 5 more territories. Russia will attack with 1 million soldiers. This is stunning stuff. The report of the British intelligence services, as well as remarks of senior British officer, who emphasizes that if the war continues, Ukraine will lose at least 5 more regions, a thorn in the side for Kiev and for the Ukrainian counterattack, which, of course, has been a complete and utter failure. At the same time, the British admit very important mistakes were made in planning the Ukrainian counterattack, taking responsibility for an unprecedented massacre. British intelligence have warned Kiev of the possible loss of 5 more areas in the event of attacks by the Russian army. They specifically mention Russia does not intend to stop an occupation of only 4 Ukrainian regions. Moscow plans to occupy 5 more. That's the minimum. Russia will not stop. If hostilities continue into 2024, Ukraine risks losing 5 more territories unless it aims to halt the advance of the Russian army and push it back to its borders of at least 2022. The Kremlin already has a plan for the occupation and further integration of the southern and central regions of Ukraine into Russia. Kiev will be cut off from the sea, and then it will lose its value for the West. According to MI6, the command of the Russian army is planning an attack, which will begin when the offensive of the Ukraine armed forces weakens. For that purpose, reserves are gathered at the border, and new units and formations are formed, which are not introduced into the zone of the special operation, but rather their role will be to defeat the Ukrainian armed forces and occupy new territories. In total, they say in London, Russia may involve up to 1 million troops in the offensive operation. Not good for Ukraine. Meanwhile, we have a situation here far more general than Ukraine, which I believe is motivated primarily by the failure to win Ukraine in order to become the new Israel. On Unz.com, once again, in this case, Joseph Tiberius writes, Jews declare war on America. We face an unprecedented and revolutionary situation. The Jews have declared war on America. This is a disaster for America and may also be a disaster for the Jews. A little background. At a moment when Israel is fighting for its very life, if one is to credit the analysis of Scott Ritter, I no longer stand with Israel, and retired U.S. Colonel Douglas McGraver, Israel is lost no matter what they do. World War III is here. Not to mention Israeli IDF retired Major General Ishak Brick. Israel could cease to exist before its 80th anniversary, says ex-Premier Barak. And Israel is absolutely dependent on American support, McGregor. Israel played right into their hands. They have lost big time. The Jews have decided to open a second front, and it may be a far more dangerous one, a front against America. For the Jews, this is very foolish. Even in the worst case for the Jews, if Israel were annihilated or its population expels, the Jews still have the United States as a refuge. A refuge they spent 100 years spitting on, and one which they disdain, but a refuge nonetheless. Moreover, it's exactly this refuge that could, if anything, ensure the first object of their affection, Israel, continues to exist. One would think that this would be the time U.S.-based Jews would cool it on the anti-Semitism war they've been waging and all and only deviating from the Jewish line for the past century, even just for a time, to avoid alienating the great power that is the only thing standing between Israel and its potential destruction. But no, the Jews, since the October 7th Hamas attack, have essentially declared war not on Hamas. The IDF is haltingly attempting to do that, but on Americans. And not just on any Americans, but the most precious commodity, non-Jews. Not that non-Jews, Americans, whether Christian, Muslim, Americans, possess their children. Beyond this, the Jews have declared war not on any old Christian, Muslim, Shinto, Buddhist, Hindu children, on the very best and brightest of them all, the ones at Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, Cornell, MIT, and by implication, at all the other top universities of the United States. I agree. This is a colossal blunder. Meanwhile, Joaquin Agopian, in a very fine study on my blog at jameshfetzer.org, Countdown to Armageddon. Over the October 29th weekend, when Hamas escalated its rocket attacks on Israel, the Jewish state launched its ground invasion, exercising far superior firepower from five different vectors, three from land into Gaza, another by sea, combined with nonstop deadly overnight airstrikes. Amidst the ongoing Gaza siege, the IDF bombardment ostensibly targeted Hamas tunnels. But the reality is hundreds of Palestinian civilians are being slaughtered every single day. On Sunday, October 28th, Botnet revealed the bombshell report that three IDF divisions were joined by several U.S. brigades, amounting to 5,000 American boots on the ground as part of a joint invasion operation in Gaza that began on Saturday, October 28th. This comes after the U.S. repeatedly lied, denying it would send troops to Israel. Yet last weekend, it was unveiled that since August 2023, U.S. has covertly been building a U.S. military base inside Israel, just 20 miles from Gaza, in preparation for this apparent joint U.S.-Israeli ground war invasion. In other words, the bottom line here is, from the very outset, planned months in advance. This Israel-Hamas war was not triggered by the October 7th Hamas surprise attack whatsoever. That was merely the pre-planned staged excuse of a lie to justify destroying Gaza and unleashing a genocide against Palestinians. If the Sputnik article turns out true, that the U.S. has American soldiers on the ground in Gaza fighting and killing Palestinians alongside Israel, it's a huge provocation that will not be tolerated very long by unified Islamic nations in the Middle East and beyond. Add the fact that extermination of Palestinians is the jointly planned U.S.-Israeli agenda, and you have the blueprint for potential nuclear World War III Armageddon exploding right now in the Middle East. I've had it from multiple sources. In fact, Israeli television was even bemoaning the fact that this attempted invasion of Gaza, including U.S. troops, was a failure. They were distressed. Meanwhile, counterinformation.wordpress.com reports the U.S. is fueling, not avoiding, a regional war. When Washington began orchestrating Israel's assault on Gaza, it became the magnet, drawing together a constellation of regional and Western armies, militias, navies, and weapon systems that risk tipping West Asia into war. By Hassan Ilak, Israeli ground operations into Gaza have begun. The Americans are now orchestrating Israel's military campaign against the Gaza Strip. Impossible goals. Since 7 October, after Israel awoke to a nightmare called Al-Aqsa Flood, Tel Aviv has set itself goals so high they are impossible to implement. Israel's first stated goal is the total elimination of the Palestinian resistance moving Hamas, not by PM Netanyahu, who is defense minister, and other military and civilian officials in Tel Aviv. They know that achieving this is next to impossible. Former PM Ehud Barak, also former defense minister and army chief of staff, has said eliminating Hamas is impossible because it is an ideology that exists in people's hearts and minds. The only way that goal can be achieved practically is by getting rid of the entire population of the Gaza Strip. This matter was put on the table in Tel Aviv. First came to our attention when Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi announced he was rejecting an Israeli proposal to allow Gaza residents to flood into the Sinai. The Kingdom of Jordan, adjacent to the occupied West Bank, also rejected a similar Israeli proposal to allow Palestinians to flood into Jordan. These Israeli proposals to uproot and displace millions of Palestinians were not just an idea floated about casually. The Hebrew media has leaked an official Israeli Ministry of Intelligence document that proposed the displacement of more than 2.4 million Palestinians from Gaza to Egypt. Just those two Israeli goals, in addition to being nigh impossible to achieve, could ignite all of West Asia and beyond. Have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, and this is utterly fascinating, Haaretz, this is a major newspaper in Israel, opinion, Netanyahu is an existential threat to Israel's survival. Israel's fragility, internally and externally, is a fault of Iran and his proxies and of the country's failed leader, Netanyahu. The U.S. and Germany are offering unprecedented support, military, moral, diplomatic, to shore up the Israeli public, but also to prevent an astronomical death toll in Gaza. They go on. There have been protests right at the house of Netanyahu. There has been panic in Israeli airports. They know what is coming. Meanwhile, U.S. Air Force confirms drone operations over Gaza. How involved will the Pentagon become supporting Israel? Plus, U.S. media warns F-35 new bomb will allow a single cell fighter to kill 310,000 Russians in Moscow with a single bomb. I think that's going to warm America to the Vladimir Putin. Talking about this, what an act of insanity. Meanwhile, Israel is bombing the entrance of Gaza's biggest hospital, slaying men, women, children, even donkeys. Remember how that is consistent with Bibi's Netanyahu. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, thinly veiled call to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, is being taken literally. On Friday, Israeli jet struck outside Gaza's largest hospital, killing men, women, children, and a horse. Shockingly graphic footage of the slaughter was shared on social media. The video showed miles of mangled children, men bleeding, dead women being dragged, bleeding from their feet, and a dead horse covered in blood. By the way, here we have a blogger. Quite the slaughter. The Israelis have much to be proud of there. Meanwhile, Israel-Hamas war update from Al Jazeera. Israel strike hits Gaza medical convoy. How about this? Stunning stuff. Here's what happened today. We're going to bring our live coverage. Here's a summary of today's main events. An Israeli strike on a medical convoy near Al-Sheva Hospital killed 15, just one of three attacks near a medical facility in Gaza. Israel says its military targeted an ambulance used by Hamas fighters. Palestinian Health Ministry spokesman rejected the claim, saying two ambulances were struck. The convoy was transporting patients. Of course they were. But every Palestinian is a Hamas fighter. According to Hamas, there are no innocents in Gaza. Not women, not children, not infants in arms. Separate Israeli strikes north of Gaza targeted a convoy of civilians seeking to evacuate via the Al-Rashid Road, killing at least 14. Another 20 killed in an Israeli attack at a school hosting displaced people. Amid the violence, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has said it can no longer provide safety and shelters under the UN flag. Of course it can. This is all-out savagery. This is to kill every man, woman, and child in Gaza. Have no doubt about it. As Philip Giraldi writes, the Gaza genocide continues. Israel is an unrestrained monster that endangers us all. Mainstream media and official government commentary on the violence in Gaza appears to have acquired a certain rhythm to make sure everyone understands it's the poor Israelis who are the real victims, being assailed by a group called Hamas, invariably labeled as terrorists. It's absolutely obligatory in the first paragraph in an article on developments in a fine to remind a reader on October 7th, the terrorist group Hamas invaded Israel and killed 1,400 peace-loving Israelis, taking an additional 200 as hostage. Israel is described as retaliating, frequently seen as relevant to state it was the most dreadful mass killing of Jews since the Holocaust. That a bit of current culture and historic relevance. 9/11 and Pearl Harbor are often also cited to suggest it was both a surprise attack and a game changer in terms of how Israelis now see the external threat and will have to harden their national security imperatives. They're not even being served a comment from Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi or Senator Chuck Schumer that Israel has a right to defend itself. Joe Biden was also quoting as saying it was 15 9/11s for Israel, given the comparative size and population of the U.S. and the Jewish state, to emphasize the enormity of the tragedy. But it's all utter nonsense. As Ted Real has explained, Israel is not acting in self-defense. Israel is framing a war in Gaza as a nation's legitimate right to defend itself. Israeli Prime Minister has emphasized there is no place for a balanced approach, he declares. Hamas be erased off the face of the planet, added Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen. Indeed, there is nothing balanced about Israel's response. Carpet bombing has destroyed nearly half the homes in Gaza. Israel has killed many times more Palestinians, civilians, than it lost on October 7th. The ground invasion will unleash more misery and mayhem. No one should call it self-defense. Article 51 of the UN Charter permits self-defense if an armed attack occurs against a member of the UN. October 7th was an armed attack until the Security Council has taken necessary measure to maintain operational peace. In other words, as a UN member, Israel should request assistance from the Security Council. They still should. Their claim to self-defense ended hours after the Hamas attack, when the Israeli Defense Forces killed or routed all Hamas fighters on Israeli territory and retaken control of the areas that had previously been overrun. The status quo ante was restored on October 8th, with the exception of the more than 200 hostages seized from Israel. Okay. I was looking for the break. Didn't occur. Got it now. So it's disproportional in violation of international law that's taken place. Meanwhile, prideful Israeli influencers are now mocking the Palestinians being annihilated by the Jewish state. This is Ethan Huss writing in Natural News. Outrage has erupted on social media as the untouchable chosen are now openly mocking the Palestinian people who are enduring genocide at the hands of Israel. Numerous Israeli TikTok influencers have been caught sharing videos that make a joke out of the slaughter of the people of Gaza at the hands of the IDF. One Jewish woman culturally appropriated the situation by dressing up in Palestinian kafiyeh garb and pretended to lose loved ones in a bombing in that particular video. The Jewish woman was pretending to hold a dead baby when in the video was a grapefruit with Sharpie markers showing dead eyes. While wearing makeup to look bruised, the Israeli woman spoke dramatically to the camera before yelling, "Cut!" At which point she tossed the fruit baby aside and played a canned applause track in the background. In another clip from the same woman named Eve Cohen, She dressed up in the same Palestinian garb and painted her face bloodied and bruised and going makeup on her teeth and white powder on her face. The clip, which you can watch before, was highlighted by Jewish activist Raphael Shunov as being an example of a Jewish mocker in Arab face trying to claim Palestinian mothers are faking their death. Here it is.
God.
How? She's putting fake blood on her face and throwing the grapefruit away. How ridiculous. Meanwhile, Israeli media, this is coming from the Israel-Palestine News. Palestinians recount settler army torture amid a surge in West Bank expulsions, which are taking place concurrently. Under the shadow of the Gaza War, Israel is displacing rural Palestinian communities en masse. At Woody Al-Sig, the ordeal is particularly horrifying, like Guantanamo. While most Israelis are busy mourning the massacres carried out by Hamas earlier this month, and local and international media are focused squarely on Gaza and southern Israel, settlers in the occupied West Bank are stepping up their efforts to forcibly displace Palestinian herding communities in rural areas. According to data collected by the human rights organization, B'Tselem, over 850 Palestinians, including at least 13 entire communities, as well as dozen more from an additional five, have been forced to flee their homes across the West Bank since October 7th. Settler violence and Israeli state pressure had already forcibly displaced three Palestinian communities earlier this year, three others in the past 2 years, as a result of this concerted process of ethnic cleansing carried out through the establishment of outposts and the forcing of shepherds from their traditional grazing lands, exacerbated by daily violence. A vast area stretching east from Ramallah to the outskirts of Jericho has now been completely emptied of Palestinians, while isolated communities elsewhere are under greater threat than ever before. Yes, they want to get every Palestinian off the lands of Palestine. Have no doubt. Meanwhile, the leader of Hezbollah, has threatened escalation with Israel, but stopped short of declaring war. Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah said Friday during a much-hyped speech that all options are on the table, but stopped short of declaring war on Israel. "We have been in the battle since October 8th, he observed. The October 7th attack was 100% Palestinian and kept completely secret even to allies. The United States is controlling the war in Gaza. It is the United States that must pay the price for the crime perpetrated by the Israelis in Gaza and by the Americans in Iraq and elsewhere. The whole world, in the name of spilled blood, in the name of defenseless civilians, in the name of churches, mosques, and hospitals, in the name of humanity, in the name of human values, virtually the whole world is required to act genuinely." We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Meanwhile, Israel has rejected a U.S. proposed temporary halt to the fighting during a trip to Israel. America's top diplomat, Antony Blinken, who, of course, is also Jewish, pushed Tel Aviv to agree to a limited humanitarian pause to allow aid into Gaza and facilitate negotiation for Hamas to release prisoners. Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu said there would be no temporary pause in the fighting. Actually, they would like it if they could get the hostages out, because they know when they destroy the tunnel system, they're going to kill such hostages as remain. Meanwhile, Hamas sees the conflict as continuing and thinks that it can win. A close source to Hamas political leadership said the group believes it can defeat Israel, but acknowledges a heavy price being paid by those on the ground. Hamas attack has been dubbed the biggest miscalculation in the history of miscalculation by an Arab state, as an operation which people informed about details say was meant to be a tactical mission to secure 24 hostages turned into a chaotic rampage. I think Israel's Gaza division collapsed as Hamas fighters and a range of others stormed through southern Israel, attacking military bases, kibbutz communities, and a music festival. The assault produced horrifying images of a massacre of Israelis, which, so far as I can tell, has been greatly exaggerated For example, Scott Ritter has suggested it was a very military precise operation and that it was carried out in an expert fashion. Meanwhile, get this, Information Liberation reports, IDF soldiers looted their homes after ordering them to evacuate in the wake of the October 7th attack. Israeli residents of the kibbutz and in western Negev say their homes were looted by Israeli Defense Force soldiers after they were ordered to evacuate in the wake of the October 7th attack. David Sheen tweets, the most moral genociders in human history. After the homes of kibbutz residents were torn asunder and their children kidnapped on 07, their few remaining precious possessions were stolen by Israeli soldiers, and the state refuses to do anything about it. Remember when the defense minister declared that all restraints were off, that there would be no military tribunals. They could do whatever they want. Here's Common Dreams, which is a left-wing website. 1,500 plus Israelis urge the ICC, that's the International Criminal Court, action on war crimes and genocide in Gaza. Persistent impunity has created conditions for the consolidation of the Israeli apartheid regime, which is intent on committing ethnic cleansing and genocide of the indigenous Palestinian population, says the open letter. They got it right. For the safety and future of the region, all elements of international law must be enforced and war crimes should be investigated, declares the letter to the ICC's Karim Akhan, noting his ongoing Palestinian investigation and recent remarks on the war. The letter explains that as Israeli anti-colonial activists, we have joined our voices to those of Palestinians for decades, warning about the dangerous course of action pursued by the Israeli state and repeatedly called for international intervention. Well, if French senators had their way, those claims would be illegal. Get this. French senators proposed a bill to ban criticism of Zionism. A group of 16 French senators have introduced a bill to criminalize criticism of Zionism, which no doubt includes criticism of Israel. Remember, I mentioned how a former Israeli minister of education was interviewed by Amy Goodman. And when the question of anti-Semitism or criticism of Israel arose, she said, this is the Israeli minister, not Amy. It's a trick. When criticism of Israel occurs in Europe, we bring up the Holocaust. When criticism of Israel occurs in America, we declare it to be anti-Semitism. Of course, lies, lies all the time, anything to protect Israel. Zionism, the racist Jewish nationalist movement, has led to the forced displacement of over 1 million Palestinians and the arrest of 1 million more. According to the renowned Israeli historian Ion Pappy, Zionism was a colonialist movement that penetrated the Palestinian homeland by force with a wish to colonize the country and with possible expansionist ambitions to penetrate the heart of the Arab world. Last month, France banned pro-Palestinian protests because they're likely to generate disturbances to the public order. That could be said of any protest. He added, any organization that protests will lead to arrest. France has long supported Israeli settler colonial project in Palestine, providing arms and diplomatic cover for his genocidal bombing campaign, which is ongoing in Gaza. I would observe, this exemplifies Voltaire's observation. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Meanwhile, a Palestinian journalist dismantled his host's Israeli propaganda. Well done. You can find it on YouTube, where he did a very skillful job. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is being attacked over the Gaza conflict. During a recent Senate hearing featuring testimony from the Defense Secretary Austin and Secretary of State Blinken, the focus was on whether the U.S. should allocate additional financial aid to Israel amidst its ongoing conflict with Hamas. The hearing was disrupted repeatedly by protesters who vocally opposed U.S. support for Israel. The disruption began while Blinken was addressing the Senate Appropriation Committee. A protester interjected, vehemently accusing the U.S. of backing what they called genocide and ethnic cleansing against Palestinians in Gaza. Another individual interrupted, urging an immediate ceasefire, imploring the committee to protect the children of Gaza. The protesters were 100% in the right. But what has in fact happened? The House has gone ahead and passed $14.3 billion in military aid for Israel. The House passed a bill to provide Israel at $14.3 billion, a strong show of support for the Israeli onslaught in Gaza, which has killed over 9,000 so far. The Republican-authored bill would cut funds from the IRS to pay for Israel's aid, drawing opposition from Democrats. It passed by a vote of 226 to 196, only 12 Democrats voting in favor. Two Republicans voted against it, Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Very good for them, Massey and Greene. Bad on the rest. Meanwhile, Dick Durbin has become the first U.S. senator to call for a Gaza ceasefire. This was already on November 2nd, 4 days ago. 27 days into Israel's brutal bombing campaign, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois became the first member of the Senate to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Asked in an interview on CBS whether it's time to call for a ceasefire, Durbin replied, "I think it is." At least in the context of both sides agreeing, for example, the release of those kidnapped should be part of this immediate release. That should be the beginning of it. An effort should be made to engage in conversation between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Wow. I think the time for conversation is long past. Stunning. Meanwhile, harassment of Palestinian students and staff is spreading in U.S. grade schools. This is truth out again. This is a left-wing outlook. All my free time is spent on social media. That's what she told the 60-year-old Virginia-based Palestinian Board High School junior. Trying to focus on homework as if everything is normal has been difficult. I have friends who support me, but the war is not affecting them directly. I feel very alone since there are very few Palestinian students in my school. She's not the only Palestinian who feels this way. In the attack on students, Palestinian or Jewish is bad. Meanwhile, Biden caught in a money laundering scheme with China? Does anyone have the least surprise? It's getting harder for the Biden crime family to hide their crimes. In a huge blow to their cover, Blaze reports, House Oversight Chairman James Comer has released evidence that Joe received $40,000 in laundered money from China in 2017. According to Comer, a Chinese company called Northern International wired $5 million to Hudson West Third, a joint venture established by Hunter and his CFC associate. That joint venture then sent $400,000 to an entity owned and controlled by Hunter Biden, who then wired $150,000 to the Leon Hall Group, owned by James and Sarah Biden, who then withdrew $50,000 in cash the same day Sarah Biden deposited into her and James' checking account before cutting a check to Joe for $40,000. That's how they do it. Very nasty. Meanwhile, I'm kind of surprised by this in a way, but we have real news in history. This is Mike King catching up with the fact that the Joe Biden we have out there today appears to be a fake, that he was axed. I think he thinks killed. I believe he died in 2017. He has a list of 17 reasons for thinking the guy's a fake, including the appearance, the inauguration. Trump ordered his post-inauguration funeral procession, the plane of taps. Whole lot more here. I mean, wrong guns, wrong song, fake Oval Office, White House sep. Trump hits, Biden was shot by a firing squad. Blunders, blunders, blunders. Biden policies are not so radical after all, part of a pattern. Check that out. But if you want a simpler, more direct proof, just go to my blog and do a search on Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Blackburn to HHS official. You don't give a ripping flip about the 85,000 missing children. Here we have actually
testimony coming from you all, listening to what you've had to say. Basically, we've got a broken system. You don't know how to fix it. Money's not going to solve this problem, Ms. Nanda. You don't know the numbers. You don't know the law to enforce the law. So what comes across is that we've got a Homeland Security team here that doesn't believe in securing the homeland because you don't care enough to go deep enough into the issue to be able to define the problem and be able to fix it. Now, Ms. Marcos, I'm going to come to you because I've written Secretary Becerra twice about these children that they just can't find. Now, first letter,
you get the idea. There are a couple of members of Congress who actually are worried about what the hell is going on. Meanwhile, it's here. Laura Logan releases her exclusive investigation of Ray Epps. With never before seen Ray Epps footage. Ray Epps was a principal instigator, an FBI stooge, on January 6th. These are Republican-ending tactics by the Democrats. Article 3 Project founder Mike Davis discusses bogus Colorado insurrection trial to remove Trump, the leading presidential candidate for 2024. Article 3 Project founder and attorney Mike Davis spoke with a Gateway pundit from the Denver District Courthouse to discuss lawfare against President Trump and the 14th Amendment election interference lawsuit in Colorado. Ignored by the fake news, Kaj Patel just destroyed the left's lawfare suit against Trump in Colorado, dropped truth bombs on liberal prosecutors, dashes hope of radical left to ban Trump from the 2024 race. Don't worry, they're going to keep at it. Meanwhile, the D.C. Court of Appeals has overturned a gag order. A three-judge panel in the D.C. Court of Appeals, the last refuge reports, has lifted District Judge Tanya Chutkan's gag order prohibiting Trump from criticizing the special counsel Jack Smith or any foreseeable witness in the case. In my opinion, it was a generalized foreseeable witness bar at Chutkan's order that became the central issue for the appellate court. Jack Smith could name anyone as a potential witness just to silence the accused. Very astute observation. Meanwhile, we even have an Obama-appointed judge defending Trump. We won't jail him for speaking truth on social media. In a surprising turn of events, the Obama-appointed judge Tanya Chutkan has denied the prosecutor's desperate request to throw former President Trump in jail if he dares to violate the gag order. It's a relief to see some common sense prevailing in the justice system. Our beloved president won't be locked up for simply expressing his views. And then, of course, the gag order was overruled. Meanwhile, Trump's legal battle. Explosive revelations confirm witch hunt in document case. Former President Donald Trump's legal team made a significant revelation during a hearing in his classified document case. They informed the federal judge overseeing there had been extensive communication among special counsel Jack Smith's office, the White House, the Department of Justice, and the National Archives and Record before his indictment. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Help,
you know I need someone.
Help.
When I was younger,
when
so
I
much
was
younger
young,
than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
And
open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
Well, here's a story that'll come as no surprise to those who've been following the facts. Pfizer, FDA, and fact checkers lied when they said toxic graphene oxide was not inside the COVID-19 vaccine, according to federal court-ordered published documents. This is coming from Exposé News. Graphene oxide is a fairly new substance, not yet well understood. But what we do know is that studies have proven it can be toxic to cells and tissues in the body. Further studies have shown graphene oxide have toxic effects on blood cells, inducing oxidative stress and inflammation. That's why it's concerning to find graphene oxide has been in and out of the news for the past 2 years in relation to the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. Several independent studies conducted by doctors and scientists have confirmed that graphene oxide is, in fact, present in these vaccines. But the manufacturers, medical regulators, and so-called fact-checkers have refuted these claims, most likely due to the known toxic effects it has on the body. For instance, Reuters, which essentially supplies the news to the entire Western world without most people realizing it, stated in a fact-checked article published July 23, 2021, that's impossible for the COVID vaccine to contain graphene oxide because they would be either dark brown or black in color instead of the clearly yellowish color they are. But what Reuters fact-checkers failed to reveal is that when graphene oxide is combined with other ingredients, such as sucrose, a listed ingredient of the Pfizer vax, it's perfectly possible to produce a clear or yellowish liquid. At the same time, Reuters did not have access to a document published February 2023 by the FDA by order of the U.S. federal court and exposed the scam. I'd mention, by the way, graphene oxide is particularly troubling because it's possible to create an interface between 5G and the brain using graphene oxide. Thus, when Klaus Schwab says, you'll owe nothing and you'll be happier than you've ever been, what he really means is, yes, you'll have no possession, no home, no car, no nothing else that's your own property at all. You'll be happier than you've ever been because your thoughts and emotions won't be your own. They will have used a graphene oxide interface to create a linkage with 5D to induce thoughts and feelings externally that have nothing to do with your own bona fide thoughts and feelings. Klaus just didn't mention that. Jeff Bezos is moving from Seattle to Miami. We'll be right back to take your call.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.